Anointing, and some of us are just flying into our chairs right now at 3 o'clock, man. And welcome everyone to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we are so glad you are joining us today. Some of you may be joining us live because this show is heard in several states now live out of that Little Rock area. Cedric, that's pretty cool, isn't it? Our wonderful engineer Cedric is right there. Pretty cool that we can be live in other states besides just on the internet.
Absolutely, yes. And it's five stations.
Okay.
I'm losing count now.
Okay. There's quite a few. So we are grateful for that. And wherever you are joining us today, and some of you may pick up this show on our website within a couple days where we always have them. Kind of fun to just know that our voices, God's word is going out over the air in a lot of different places. If you're in the Tampa Bay area or in one of those live areas, you can also hear us on the internet, www.tantalk1340.com. And you can actually see video of us here in the studio. And I am flanked today by Pastor Jim, my associate pastor at Beacon of Hope.
Hey.
And Nan, our administrative assistant. And you guys are like both in your bright pink Pepto-Bismol Beacon of Hope shirts today. It's like somebody sent you a memo to wear them.
Yeah, you got the memo, right, Pastor Jim?
Yeah.
Well, you guys didn't send it to me.
What happened to your memo?
I don't know.
You didn't read it?
I don't know. Evidently not.
Evidently not.
But we make good bookends.
Yes, there you go. Nice bookends there, guys.
Good, your color works great. Very nicely with our color.
Right, yeah. So we're good. We're good. Bright shirts. So anyway, and we do have a few of those left. We had a big order in the summer. We have really sold a lot of them, but there are a few. If anybody wants one, you can just email me, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, and we'll get you one. And they're about $15, I believe, is what they were. Mm-hmm. But they're really pretty. Anyway, welcome today to the show. We're excited about it. We're getting close to Christmas 2012. Pastor Jim, can you believe this whole year has already been flying by, and it's almost gone?
It seems to me that Florida has a time zone all to itself.
Really?
Because, I mean, time seemed to go fast in Chicago when I lived up there, but
yeah.
My oh my.
You don't think it has anything to do with you getting older?
Oh, heavens.
Okay. And Nan, did you know the good news? Pastor Jim is about to become a grandfather.
Yes.
For the very first time.
Ring that bell.
And having been a grandmother now for 17 years, I can tell you, that dates me, I better not say that.
Uh-oh.
I can tell you that it is so exciting, PJ, to be a grandpa, grandma. Oh,
I just
my.
Talked to my daughter before I headed over here. And
yes.
Everything's fine. She goes to the doctor tomorrow, and then sometime between next Monday and the following Monday, she has an ultrasound to determine just how big this baby already is.
Little girl.
Yep.
Yes.
Due date's still January 7th.
All right.
You know, what's neat about Pastor Jim is, you know, he has shared this as a praise report on our,
yes,
in our Wednesday night Bible studies. And every time he speaks of this, his face just lights up and glows. It's so cool.
He's very excited. He's very excited. This is a baby that was believed for and prayed for, mm-hmm, and very exciting. So we wish Stacy and
Eric.
Eric, I thought it was, but I didn't want to say it wrong. Stacy and Eric, the best here in the next few weeks to deliver this beautiful little girl. So we are excited about what God is doing at Beacon of Hope, Nan. Great things. We had a switch recently to evening service instead of Sunday morning. We're still not sure how that's panning out. I guess the jury's still out on that as far as attendance is concerned, and we're going to revisit that soon, that decision. But for now, church starts at 6 tonight at Beacon of Hope, and we welcome people in the Tampa Bay area to come on down.
Come on down. Join us.
Yeah, 3700 Elmerton. Good time in the Word. Great music. It's fun, isn't it?
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's the highlight. My life seems to revolve, well, it's of course, around God, but around the church. I mean, that's I don't want to call church a social thing, because that's not what it is. But social events spur out of, you know, with dealing with the people that we attend church with, you know, and so that is my social friends are my brothers and sisters in the Lord from church. That's who I do things with.
And that's cool to have good friends that you also worship together, which is exciting. And we just love to worship God at this time, Pastor Jim. It's the season where we remember Jesus, the birth of Jesus. We are having this huge, great big thing 2 weeks from tonight. I can't even believe it's only two
Christmas
weeks from tonight. Christmas in the Park in Dunedin Highlander Park, and it's going to be fun. And we'll tell you more about that in a little while, but that's in Dunedin 2 weeks from tonight, 6 o'clock. This first song we're going to play is one of my favorites, and I found out a few minutes ago one of yours also.
Absolutely.
Jesus Messiah. Do you know who wrote it?
Chris Tomlin.
That's what I thought, and I didn't have that on my paper, but I thought it was Chris. But it just speaks to the whole birth of Jesus and what it's all about. Almost there, 2 weeks away. Listen to this wonderful song, Jesus Messiah.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Redeemer.
God, I love that song. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. This is that Christmas season. This is that time where we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And we are so glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Pastor Jim, last week we were in Luke chapter 1 and we were talking about Zechariah, the priest. And we won't go over all of that. In fact, that people can go to our website, dear listeners. You can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and catch last week's show. Because it was very important as a preliminary up to the birth of Jesus.
Right.
I find it very interesting that Zechariah and Elizabeth play such an important role in the birth of Jesus, and were actually, Elizabeth was a cousin of Mary.
Right.
I think it's pretty cool how all that tied together, don't you?
Well, it was prophesied there would be a forerunner.
It would be a forerunner.
And it's very cool that it was Jesus' cousin that ended up fulfilling that prophecy.
Exactly. Yes. It was in Isaiah 40.
Isaiah chapter 40.
Yes, where it talks about the forerunner. In fact, we are going to be mentioning different prophecies that have been fulfilled in the birth of Jesus, in John the Baptist, and some of these others. And last week on Bible study, you started a series, and we've been talking about these prophecies fulfilled and how it increases our faith.
Well, it gives you a foundation. I really believe it gives you a better foundation for believing.
Right.
There's a book I'm sure you remember a long time ago, Know Why You Believe.
Yes.
Very popular on campuses.
Mm-hmm.
But, you find out God talked about all these prophecies. He made all these prophecies hundreds of years before Jesus was even born. I mean... The last prophecy, which actually in the Bible actually concerns John the Baptist about someone coming, Elijah returning, and we know that was later fulfilled in John the Baptist. Yeah, that was still 450 years before Jesus came. And Isaiah prophesied 800 years.
Right.
About 700 years before Jesus.
Which just shows you that God never forgets a promise he makes.
Right, right, right.
Yes.
That's good.
Isn't that good,
Dan?
That's
great.
We can hang our hat on that. We can bank on that.
Yes, we can.
And who remembers the odds of Jesus fulfilling?
100 quadrillion.
Very good.
Oh, my gosh.
Fulfilling only 8 of the prophecies in the Bible, in the Old Testament, was 100 quadrillion.
Oh, yes, okay.
The one you just said.
I was just so excited about the quadrillion part. But I got it right
weird.
Wednesday night.
That's only eight of the prophecies.
And it was
that's 40, amazing.
48 prophecies was, you may not remember, but it was 1 in 10 to the 157th power.
Power, which is just...
A number so big it's unimaginable that anyone else could have fulfilled these prophecies. So, yeah, I just love talking about, teaching on that because it is, cool. It builds my faith.
It does.
You just said and you think, the first prophecy was given, 6,000
years
ago.
6,000
years
ago with Abraham. Well, Adam and Eve, yes.
Yeah, and then.
Adam and Eve, yes.
And then 2,000 years ago.
Right.
Or 3,000 years ago with Abraham. 2,000 years ago with David, up to 450 years before Jesus was born with Malachi. And those prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus.
And to the letter.
To the letter.
And that is so cool. And so it's all about building our faith, Nan, Pastor Jim. I feel like in this time at Christmas, so often we just get sidetracked into parties and relatives and all of that and gift buying, which is all important because it is a symbol of the gift of the Father giving us the Son, Jesus. But still, this should be a time of year, I believe, Nan, where our faith increases. and where we get stronger realizing that these prophecies did come true. Did that do that for you the other night in Bible study?
Oh, most definitely. That was pretty cool. That was pretty impressive teaching.
Yes.
Well, you know, all the radios, not all radio stations are playing Christmas music. And for some reason, this year is different for me.
Okay.
In a positive way.
All right.
Because in the past, I get frustrated that they remove all my good Christian and other type of program I listen to play Christmas music the whole time, you know? And it's like,
How dare they?
You know, but it was like, this is important. This is what it's all about.
Yes.
You know, and I'm hearing those songs in a new enlightened way this year than what I ever have before.
And it's funny, I was thinking about that, like I do every Christmas, how it changed after I was born again.
Amen.
You know, I'd sung Christmas carols all my life, and I was born again when I was 18. And that first Christmas, like Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Right.
It's like I'd never read the words before.
Exactly.
Or, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Right.
You know, you always sing the first verses. Well,
there's so much more.
Hark the Herald Angels Sing is full of incredibly, I mean, it's the gospel in those lyrics. And the same thing with,
Amen,
O Come All Ye Faithful. And it just, like Nan, it just jumped out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is so cool.
It is. We're singing that tonight. Hark the Herald Angels Sing at church. Yeah, exciting. So let's talk about Zechariah here, because Zechariah had an opportunity to believe the angel Gabriel or to say, wait a minute, this can't happen. I'm old. And we know this story from Luke 1 that actually Zechariah gave into unbelief.
Oh, yeah.
He gave into, how can this be? I'm old. My wife's old. What do you mean we're going to have a baby after all these years? We're past the childbearing years. We talked last week on the show about the frustrations that we all have when it feels like our prayers have not been heard by God, and certainly we haven't seen the answers, and how frustrating that can be. Again, I refer you back to that show because it was really good about what to do about that. Here we are in Luke 1, and let's go to verse 19. The angel says, I'm Gabriel, the sentinel of God, sent especially to bring you this glad news. But, okay, now I'm in the Message Bible, and one of you probably is in your King James here, but because you won't believe me, you'll be unable to say a word until the day of your son's birth. Every word I've spoken to you will come true on time, God's time. That is Luke 1, 19 and 20. Zechariah had an opportunity to believe. He gave in to doubt and to fear. And we all tend to do that a lot of times in our lives. But look what happened here, Nan. I mean, this is interesting. He had the opportunity to believe. He said, no way, we're old, this can't be. And there were consequences to his unbelief.
I had a thought that just went away.
I have a thought.
You have a thought? We share it.
Maybe.
Okay, thank you. Yes. Go ahead.
No, mine almost went away and all that. But I'm thinking so many times we do the same thing. If we're dealing with an issue, an addiction or something, we know the promises. I mean, I've been there. I'm sure we all have been there.
Right.
And we say, well, how can this be? I am whatever.
I'm an addict,
whatever,
or
I am, yes. Yeah, I'm too weak, I'm too this, I'm too
yes.
that, I'm too old,
yes.
I'm too young,
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Which is what Zechariah did. He just gave the reasons, the facts as he saw them, you know.
And the consequence is, then we're still stuck.
Right,
you
amen.
You know, we're still stuck in whatever's going on, mm-hmm. and we don't, you know, I can't change. Well, yeah, you can.
Right.
You know, God promised it. And, you know, Zechariah, of course, easy for me to say this 2,000 years later, but he should have known better. He was a priest, for crying out loud.
He should have known better, but something about this story always blesses me because of his humanity, and that's what the Bible is all about. It's full of experiences of people just like us that mess up and have human failings and doubts.
Yeah,
you know?
Because we should know better, too.
We should know better.
And we know.
Right.
We don't. You know,
we know there are times the doubts come in and the fear comes in and the anxiety, not that that's good, but it also reminds us of our dependence on God and the importance of his word, and that we need to continually stay in the Word and let our faith build up, which is what we were talking about a minute ago.
What I was going to say is that he made poor choice. And many times we make poor choices, and sometimes there's like y'all have said, consequences to those choices we made. God hasn't failed us because he made the promise to us, whatever it is or promise is, and he's going to fulfill those. Just
Amen.
As this example of what you say, many, many stories in the Bible of how he fulfilled his promises.
Exactly.
But we, you know, when we make poor choices, we think, well, look, God failed us. God didn't fail us.
Right.
We failed ourselves. We messed up ourselves.
Well, and sometimes the answer doesn't come on our timing.
Right.
That's for sure.
He's made me some promises, and they just haven't come yet, but they will.
But
that's true.
But you have to think, you know, Zechariah and Elizabeth are old by right. this time. The Bible doesn't say how old, but they're old.
They're past childbearing age.
So that's going to put her probably in her around 50-ish at least.
At least, I'd say, yeah.
But you can bet they probably got married around 20-ish.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been praying, and I'm sure they started praying for a baby right then and there. So there's 30 years.
Right.
And, you know, but it says here, in it will be fulfilled at the appointed and proper time. And, you know.
That's where we get hung up.
Our timing isn't the same as God's.
We talk about that a lot on the show, Pastor Jim, but I tell you, we live it. We each live it, that it, even when we hang on to that promise and we believe God for that promise, whatever it might be, you can just about rest assured it's not going to happen in the timing you want. It's usually something different for
right.
whatever big picture reason that God's got going on.
And it's kind of comforting to know that he does have the big picture.
Yes,
you
absolutely.
Know, praise God for that, because in our humanness, we just mess up.
Right. Absolutely. Nan, don't you find it interesting here that there were consequences to Zechariah's unbelief, and that God actually shut his mouth and turned off his ears for a few months?
I would hope that God wouldn't do that to me if I started to enter unbelief in a situation. I can't even imagine not to be able to talk.
I know.
Yeah, and not be able to hear for 9 months.
I mean, think
it made a believer out of him, didn't it?
Well, look what happened in his heart. Look what happened in his heart. So, you know, you pointed out, I think, recently, Pastor Jim, it wasn't just that he couldn't talk, but he also couldn't hear.
Apparently, he was also deaf, because they had to make signs
right.
to him. So apparently, he wasn't mute only. He also apparently couldn't hear.
Yeah, because it says sign language and all of that. That's how they communicated with him. In fact, let's look at verse 21 of Luke 1. Meanwhile, the congregation were waiting for Zechariah. They got restless because they wondered what was keeping him so long. He came out, he couldn't speak, and they knew he had seen a vision. He continued speechless and had to use sign language with the people. And it's good that he took that course in college, don't you think? So, I mean, really, who knows how he did this, but he communicated somehow with them. And then he goes home, and at the end of his...
Can I say something? Yeah. Can you imagine the major inconvenience in life? Now, I mean, seriously, think about it. All of a sudden, boom, you walk out of this radio station, and you can't talk, and you can't hear for 9 months. I mean, that's pretty dramatic. I mean, just all of a sudden, like that, and you can't... And to try to do your job, communicate with your family, communicate with your friends. You know, you might even wind up pulling yourself back away from doing some of your social things just because you can't talk, you can't hear,
you know.
So quite the impact.
Absolutely. So what was going on in Zechariah during that time? Because we see a drastic change from the visit of the angel Gabriel until let's go on here and we'll see. So Elizabeth conceives. And how did she receive in verse, 24, 25? What was her attitude when she finds out that she's pregnant? I mean, I think it's fascinating to see the difference between her reaction and that of Zechariah. Zechariah's reaction was, wait a minute, that can't be. Come on, we're old and whatever. And it says in the Message Bible, her reaction, Elizabeth's reaction is, so this is how God acts to remedy my unfortunate condition. That's what she says in the Message Bible. I don't know what it says in yours there.
It says, because thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he deigned to look on me and take away my reproach among men. It's the Amplified version.
There you go.
But it was a reproach.
Yes, I mean, it was.
For a woman in Israel, I mean, it was looked, barrenness was looked upon as a reproach, as a curse.
Right, right.
And she's going, look at me. I'm not cursed anymore.
But I notice here in the Message Bible, this is how God acts to remedy mm-hmm. it. This is what God did. You know, it's not like, oh, this is fluky or this is weird or how did this happen? She gives glory to God. You know, amazing, wonderful. Here we go. Now we're going over to verse 57. Okay, I want to go over to Luke 1:57. If you have your Bibles and want to follow along with us, that's where we are headed here. When Elizabeth was full term in her pregnancy, she bore a son. Wait a minute. Let's back up a little bit. I want to see something here about Elizabeth in verse 39, Luke 1:39. And this is after Mary realizes she's pregnant. And Mary then gets up and travels to a town in Judah. Before we get over here to Zechariah, she goes to Zechariah's house, Mary does, and greets Elizabeth, her cousin. What happens when Elizabeth hears Mary's greeting? I find this fascinating, too.
John did a somersault.
Yeah, baby John in her womb, in Elizabeth's womb. And we know that his name was given to Zechariah by the angel Gabriel, and it means Jehovah shows favor. Mm-hmm. So talk to me about that, the somersault thing. I mean, that's wild.
I think it's just great. I mean, it says the baby leapt for joy. There's not a whole lot of room, I wouldn't imagine, to leap or be leaping around in a womb.
Right, right, exactly.
I can just see, like, stretching his arms and his legs, and Elizabeth kind of, whoa. But it also says that she herself was filled with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And, then...
just at the sound of Mary's voice.
Yeah.
Isn't that fascinating?
You know, it's like, and I love what she says. She says, to Mary, blessed are you, above all other women are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And then she says, how have I deserved that this be granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?
Wow.
You know, she knew it. I mean, yes. When she was filled with the Holy Spirit, she knew not only was her baby a miracle, but she's standing in the presence of the one,
right,
Jesus, who is going to be the Messiah.
And the only way she could have known that is that it was revealed to her by the Holy Spirit.
By the Holy Spirit.
And because it wasn't something that we have no account here that an angel came and told her, when your cousin Mary comes, there's nothing like that. It's just that the sound of Mary's voice, that is just too cool. Nan, you want to comment on any of that?
Well, I was thinking about, no.
I expected her to say no right then. I don't know
what I was thinking about, standing in the presence. Hmm. Standing in the presence. Many times we sometimes stand in the presence, say in the presence of someone who's very holy, speaking the word. I was thinking of you, actually. You're anointed. We know that. When we come into your presence, we know that. You're anointed. Various other types of people that we come into, Pastor Jim, he's anointed. Right. And the anointing is on there. And just to be in the presence of people like that, sometimes people don't realize where they are. They don't realize what a cool place they're in, because they're not spiritually in tune,
right,
to be able to, exactly, sense or recognize that. Whereas, yeah, Elizabeth was, as she received the Holy Spirit. So it was the holiness of Mary and the role that she was going to play in the birth of Jesus. She was able to identify the holiness of that place because the Holy Spirit within her.
So cool. And I think it's interesting that Elizabeth was evidently a very humble person. Because you don't see any dialogue with Elizabeth going, hey, how come you get to carry the Messiah and I get to carry...
And I just have his forerunner.
His forerunner, There's nothing like that. It's just that Elizabeth is absolutely overwhelmed by the greatness of God here. I mean, she begins to talk about it. Go ahead, Nan.
Well, I'm thinking that, so you said that she wasn't like jealous or anything, or wishing that she
doesn't show that.
Doesn't
at all.
Show that. Doesn't indicate that. And I think sometimes in churches, sometimes people get into a bad place because they allow some sort of jealousy.
Absolutely.
Well, I can't be the preacher. Well, you know, if they knew the load that you carry,
that's
they really
right.
wouldn't want to be the preacher. All
no.
they see is you up there on Sunday mornings speaking and Wednesday nights, you know, except when you have Pastor Jim speak, you know, they don't know all that goes into that,
oh, no.
you know. But sometimes people will have jealousy in churches because they're just out of tune with what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in their life. That they have a role. We all have
right.
a role.
Well,
and no role is bigger.
That's a great point.
You're pastor, and I respect you, pastor, but your role's not, you have more responsibilities, and God has called you, and you have a heavy responsibility to fulfill. But everyone has their own role
exactly.
in a church, and they need to take pride in doing and fulfilling their role that they have, whatever. Like Elizabeth was excited
exactly.
to be able to have the role of the forerunner of Jesus Christ was growing inside her.
Right.
Her role was very important, but that she took pride in that role, as many people need to take. Everyone needs to take pride in the role which they fulfill in a church or a body of Christ.
Boy, that's a really good point, Nan.
Exactly.
That's a great point.
That is really
insight.
Good. And really, I think that's why there's so much dissension,
mm-hmm.
schism.
Yes. Schism.
Schism.
It's kind of a cool word.
You know, somebody splits in churches
right.
because people get jealous.
Yes.
They either, they want the pastor's anointing or they want the praise leader's anointing or whatever, and they just don't have it, but they've not really sought out their own place is. And
right.
that's why, you know, Paul spent a whole lot of time
yes,
on that
he did.
In the book of
I was
First
reading
Corinthians.
That this week, 1 Corinthians 12 again, about
everybody
the foot, the hand, everybody's got
and
a
we
place.
We all can't be the pastor.
Yes, no.
We all can't be the praise leader. We
right.
all can't be lay people.
Right.
I mean, every one of us has a piece in this mosaic
right.
that
mm-hmm.
that is the body of Christ.
Right.
But sometimes so many people, like you said, Nan, they become jealous. Well, why doesn't God do that through me?
Right.
I mean, I've been there. I've been jealous too, and I've had people be jealous of you know what I've been doing. We already know it's happened. You know, but I just if people would just sit back
right.
and be an Elizabeth
right
and just say. First of all, what is my role?
Yes, yes.
What
yes.
is, you know, what part mm-hmm. What part in the body do I play?
Right.
You know, what's my position?
Mm-hmm.
And then just ask God to give you whatever gifts, anointing, whatever you need to fulfill that.
Absolutely.
And then be happy.
Absolutely. I, as a pastor, these many 30-some years, I would say one of the most important parts of the body are those that are called to be intercessors and prayer warriors, because when those people are fulfilling their duties, everything else goes along so mm-hmm. much smoother. And I really believe that the devil tries his best to make people feel less than, like they aren't as important. So, Nan, that is a huge point that you made here. And of course, you all know we don't plan these shows. We know where we're headed in the Word, but we don't have no clue how it's going to happen. And so that, of course, was not planned to be said, but it's for somebody out there. Mm. And hopefully they will receive that and realize that their part, whatever it is just as important as somebody else's part.
Mm-hmm.
It's just different. It's just different. Different
right.
anointing, you know. And a lot of times I think it has to do with the willingness of a person to receive that responsibility and that anointing. Some people could have certain things, but don't want to pay the price and don't want to sacrifice what it takes to do that. Because
mm-hmm.
it takes a lot of sacrifice to be in this role, let me tell you. So anyway, so here's Elizabeth, and we're in about verse, I don't know, because it's the Message Bible.
43.
So Mary is saying to her, no, this is Elizabeth talking. You're so blessed among women, and the babe in your womb also blessed. And why am I so blessed that the mother of my Lord visits me? I find this so fantastic that God reveals to her right then, oh, she's carrying the Messiah.
Right.
The mother of the Lord. Oh, amazing.
Because in the flesh, in the natural,
she just wouldn't know.
Yeah, she wouldn't know. This is just oh, cousin, you're pregnant.
But it, in fact, when we go back to verse 39 of Luke 1, we find out that as soon as Mary accepted this responsibility and the seed was placed within her, she got up and ran to her cousin. So, I mean, she didn't even look pregnant.
Right.
I mean, if you think about it, there is no way, you know.
She wouldn't have been showing for
a few months yet. Right. And so, but, so it was a divine revelation. Go ahead.
Well, and then, you know, Elizabeth says, what, as soon as your salutation reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy.
Yeah.
And I love verse 45. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of the things that were spoken to her from the Lord.
Oh. That's, you know, it right there.
And that applies not just to Mary.
Amen.
That applies to all of us. We're blessed when we believe that there would be a fulfillment of the things that are spoken to us from the Lord. When we get a promise from God's word, we're blessed when we believe it.
Oh, that's huge. That is the essence of all of this, I think. When we say, okay, and like the study we're doing on the prophecies, when we realize that God didn't coincidentally plant a promise 4,000 years before the birth of Jesus. That was intentional.
Right.
He didn't coincidentally say to David, I'm going to send the Messiah through your line. That was intentional. Every part of this is intentional, the intentionality of God. God knows what he's doing. He plans it. He's precise. He carries it out. Nan, what does that do for you? That just blesses me
so
much.
I was reflecting upon the rich teaching from Pastor Jim.
Yes,
you know,
the other
Wednesday night. And showing the lineage breakdown of who came from who, and this son, and then that son, and then that son, and showing the lineage of Jesus.
And what does that do for you?
It builds your faith.
Because
you could see, it wasn't just coincidental that, well, they bypassed all the first, second, third, fourth, and they went to the 12th son. Did the likelihood of that just coincidentally happening, and various type of things happen throughout all the going down, that just was not coincidental. That was God ordained.
God said he was going to bring the Messiah through Abraham, then his son Isaac, and then on down through Jacob, and then Judah, the fourth son. Could have been the first, could have been the second, could have been the third. He chose the fourth. Judah meaning praise. I love that, from the tribe of Judah.
And then from Jesse.
Yes.
And Jesse had eight sons, and he took the youngest one of those and said, David, and said, the Messiah is going to come through you.
Right. It's just amazing, all of this.
And just wait till Wednesday. We're going to talk about the time. The time of Jesus' birth was prophesied.
Right.
His birthplace and then his later hometown were both prophesied.
Absolutely. Pretty cool.
His first vacation was prophesied.
His first vacation? Yes.
I can't wait to hear this.
Obviously, you'll have to be there on Wednesday.
Yeah, I'll be there.
The cliffhanger there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm good at that, you know.
I know that.
This whole month of December, I want to emphasize the joy involved with the prophecies of Jesus, the fulfillment of those prophecies, the birth of Jesus, what that means to us. And in this whole thing, I'm titling all this Joy Unspeakable and Full of Glory. And glory is God's presence. And that's from an old hymn that we used to sing, Pastor Jim and I did years ago.
I did too.
You did too?
Yes.
Yes, you grew up in church too. Yeah. So you sang that too.
Well, I don't want you to feel like you're so old. You said an old hymnal.
Thank you very much,
so
Nan. I feel better.
Yes. I'm glad you do.
Yeah. So the babe in my womb, so says Elizabeth, skipped like a lamb for sheer
joy.
There it is right there. John the Baptist just jumps for joy.
Well, and...
Cool.
Two things. We don't sing joy to the world for nothing.
Right.
And secondly, this is a very depressing time for a lot of people.
Right.
And we kind of touched on it earlier, and I actually meant to make the point earlier when we were talking about, you know, you get so wrapped up in the gift giving and the crowds and having to put up the lights and the Christmas tree and all that. You have to do all the Christmas stuff.
Right.
And that's not what it's about. You know, it's about Jesus being born.
Oh, about Jesus.
You cut out all the other stuff. I mean, that other stuff's good. I love doing that other stuff. But you have to remember what's at the core of all this. Why do we even have Christmas? And that's because it's the birth of Jesus.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. And
Amen.
You keep focused on that, and you will I honestly believe, you know, all this other stuff will just fall off and you'll have a joyous,
amen,
truly a merry Christmas.
Right. It's not about happiness. It's about joy, deep joy. Right.
Well, we're talking about giving. I was just thinking of something my mom had said after Thanksgiving. My mom had said, you know, I thought it'd be nice as a family for us to go and do something to just give back, you know, like go help it wherever that needs help on Thanksgiving. I said, well, let's do it for Christmas. Well, she didn't want to do it for Christmas because I guess that's too sacred or something. She didn't want to break from the tradition, you know. But I'd like to encourage people to find something somewhere this season where they can kind of like contribute back to the community. Just
sure.
Just go out of their way. There's plenty of things you can do. And many of the times, the things aren't necessarily a Christian event, you know, which is what it's all about, which you, Pastor Jim, said that is what it's all about for us. But in that is also the giving.
Giving.
You know, and to give of your time in a something, somewhere, you know.
They had a great big deal all day Friday at News Channel 8's TV stations on Parker in Tampa. You know, there were like giving blood, giving mm-hmm. teddy bears for the, you know, donation, all kinds of things going on. That's what we're talking about, just doing something mm-hmm. to get involved, right? They called it Kindness Day, which I thought was pretty cool. So, you know, it's because of God's great love that he sent his son Jesus.
Would that be his extravagant love?
That's his extravagant love. This Casting Crown song, I love it. Your love is extravagant. Because the word even uses that word. Mm-hmm. It's extravagant. When somebody gives you something that you think, oh my, you spent way too much money. That's extravagant. That's over the top. Mm-hmm. You're only supposed to do a $5 gift or whatever. Who does that? But anyway, I mean, you know, and when it's extravagant, it's over the top. It's more than you could ever imagine. That is the gift of the precious Jesus at this season that we celebrate. Let's hear the song by Casting Crowns.
Intoxicating in a secret place, 'cause your love is extravagant. Spread wide in the arms of Christ is the love that covers sin. No greater love have I ever known. You've considered me a friend and captured my heart again. Your love is extravagant. Your friendship is intimate. I feel I'm moving to the rhythm of your grace. Your fragrance is intoxicating in a secret place. Your love is extravagant. Spread wide in the arms of Christ is a love that covers sin. Spread wide.
capture my heart again.
It's God's great love, so extravagant, that allowed him to send his only son to this earth to die for us. Wow. I love that song. His love is extravagant. And his love for Elizabeth and Mary, and even the detail of them being cousins and knowing each other is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really is. We're in Luke chapter 1, if you just joined us on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we're talking about how as soon as Mary realized that she was with child, she goes and runs to the home of her cousin Elizabeth. And as she approaches, then the baby that was in Elizabeth's womb, John the Baptist, leaps for joy. And it's amazing. And how Elizabeth reacted, so excited for Mary.
She was excited for Mary. I mean, she was excited, I'm sure, for herself, as we found out earlier.
Right.
But she was really excited for Mary. And she was excited that Jesus was there.
Exactly. Oh, I mean, because they had these prophecies forever. They knew that the Messiah was coming. This was not a great big surprise. They were watching for the arrival of the Messiah. It was not a new idea. It had been there in all their sacred writings for years. And then Mary bursts out here. And I say burst because in the Message Bible, in verse 46 of Luke 1, as soon as Elizabeth shouts and talks about the joy of having acknowledged that the Messiah is within her cousin Mary, Mary starts to talk. And I want to talk about all this, Nan and Pastor Jim here. What Mary said, she starts out, I'll start it out, and then you guys can jump in here. I'm bursting with God news. I'm dancing the song of my Savior God. What does this say about Mary? Mary realizes that the baby within her has come from God, from the Holy Spirit. This is not just any birth. As we know, it was the virgin birth. So she's bursting with God news. Ever have one of those times in your life where you got some good news you want to tell somebody and you're just like so excited to tell it, or you get a new job or find out you're pregnant? Nan, you remember that? I remember that. I remember that three times over.
I remember that only once.
But it was exciting, you know, to have that good news to share. And you remember, Pastor Jim, when you all found out you were having a child and now your grandchild. So
it was exciting, not initially due to my circumstances, to be very honest with you.
Okay, you don't have to share.
I'm not going to.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But it was very exciting you know, it was exciting to go to the doctor. And I mean, I can remember the first time I heard his heartbeat.
Right.
Oh, yes. You know, it's just such a special, special time.
It is.
You know, and you just want to share that with everybody. And,
right.
You know, just to carry the child and then to have this wonderful, beautiful, handsome young man.
It's right.
Just awesome.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
It's this wonderful good news within us. We can travel over 2,000 years, Pastor Jim, and when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, there is a joy that begins to settle on the inside of us. We may not be carrying the child, but we are carrying the very presence of Almighty God within us. How cool is that? You know?
Amen. Amen. And I was just thinking, Mary comes, you know, Mary, who's carrying Jesus, comes in. John leaps for joy.
Right.
Then Elizabeth gets the joy,
right.
And then Mary gets the joy.
Oh, I like that. That's it. That's what we're talking about, is this joy.
Spread from one to the other.
And joy is so not happiness.
Right.
Do you want to amplify on that a minute? We kind of talked on it last week, but go ahead.
Well, joy is deeper than happiness.
Yes.
Happiness is based on circumstances.
Okay.
Joy is based on the promises.
Okay.
You know, it's based on the word.
Yes.
happiness can change over the course of 5 minutes.
Absolutely.
You know, I could be going down the road just singing, and all of a sudden somebody hits me.
Right.
In my car.
You're no longer happy.
I'm no longer happy. Right. I can still have the joy.
That's right.
I can still have the joy of the
right.
Lord.
Right.
Because, I mean, that comes from trusting, because you know
right.
whatever happens, it's in His hands. I mean, you know, Mary, you know, my time, my life is in Your hand.
Yes.
Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord.
Right.
Be it done to me according to Your word. That's, and I think sometimes joy is a little more subtle than happiness.
I think it's deeper.
Deeper. And yeah, a little more. Yeah.
And I think we don't even recognize what it is, because we're not in tune with, you know, just who God is maybe for us in that instant, and how deep He wants to work on the inside of us. And when He does and we allow it, then we begin to have that sense of peace and joy. That's what it's all about. Our walk with the Lord becomes so much more important to us. You want to comment on this? Pastor Jim's got the internet up right in front of him. You can write me right now, and he will tell us what you're saying. Pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. We'd love to hear from you about this joy versus happiness. Because, Nan, I think there's a big difference. And I think people run around through this life looking for happiness and don't even realize they should be seeking for joy.
Joy is like a settledness in you.
Okay.
Know, it's just there. You know, it's there. Like you
right.
say, it's deep.
Yeah.
You know, and like Pastor Jim said, happiness, you know, that can change in 5 minutes, like he said. You know, it can change, you know, circumstances. Circumstances
right.
can change your happiness.
So it's circumstantial happiness.
It's circumstantial happiness.
Based on, okay, if I get what I want for Christmas,
then
or,
I'll be happy.
Then I'll be happy. Or mm-hmm. if everything goes the way I want it to go today, and I get everything, everybody treating me the way I want them to treat me, and everything lining up the way I plan today. You know, some people plan their days that precisely, and when something gets a little out of whack, they can lose their happiness very quickly. But the difference here is that our joy we should not lose just because
something
circumstances doesn't go our way. Comment on
well,
that.
Exactly.
This is huge. This is a huge principle, people.
Right. I mean, exactly. Because
happiness to the world, the Lord. No, it doesn't say that.
It says
doesn't
joy.
Say oh, joy. Joy. Okay.
So much
All
deeper.
Right. Okay.
And I think joy is akin to peace.
Aha. Uh-huh. I totally agree.
And you kind of touched on it. You know, that's
love,
that
joy,
settledness.
Peace. Yes.
Yeah. Love, joy, peace, patience. Mm-hmm. Those are all connected. They're on the same vine, as it were, being the fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
And yeah, there is, because joy is strength. Joy is peace.
Yes.
You know, I just read this morning in Isaiah 66 where God's talking about Jerusalem and how people are going to rejoice over Jerusalem.
Rejoice.
And He'll extend peace like a river.
Yes.
You know, so the two are connected.
They are interconnected.
Joy and peace, because
yes, I agree.
You know, and they both come from settling on the Word. If, and I just pray that I can do this more and more, because I found out as I do, just release it to God, and then I don't lose my joy. I don't lose my peace. It's
good point.
It's in God's hands. I mean, you know, I've struggled a lot. We've had big increase of stuff to do at work, so that's been kind of
right.
It's been rough. There've been some rough patches because there's a lot of work to do. But the last few weeks, I just keep giving it over to God and giving it over to God. And I always do everything I'm supposed to do. And B, even if, like, say, chart notes or something piles up, then it's okay. It's in God's hands.
So often we allow those circumstances, like you're just talking about, and maybe we've got work piled up, we got more to do than we can get done. We got, for me, with real estate, maybe something's not coming together right, and we've got this problem and that problem or whatever. Those are opportunities, those difficulties are opportunities to see God's great power
right.
working. But so often we use those as happiness gauges. Do you know what I'm talking about over there?
Yes.
Do you want to amplify on that?
when things just don't go the way we think we they should, we often lose our happiness.
That's true.
We shouldn't lose our joy, however.
Right. That's right.
And maybe that's what happened to Zechariah.
Mm-hmm.
Because things hadn't gone the way he expected.
That's
he
right.
and his wife had been praying for this baby for a long time.
Probably 30 years at least.
And they may have even given up.
Right.
Praying.
Probably.
But you know what? God heard that first prayer and started to move at that moment.
Amen.
It's like with Daniel.
Yes.
When he was praying for revelation, the angel that came finally, came 21 days later. And he said, well, I heard your prayer the first day. There was some warfare I had to do.
We're going to talk more about that in our next hour. And I'll tell you, this is right on. Some of you out there may be discouraged today. You may feel defeated. You may feel like life is not treating you the way you want it to treat you, or people are not acting the way you want them to act or behave. Or maybe you're going through a divorce. You're going through a difficulty at work, whatever the case may be. Stay tuned, because we're going to address this and how you can have this joy in the midst of very difficult circumstances. I guarantee you can. I'm living it. These two beside me are living it. And it's not easy sometimes, but you can do it. So hang on with us here as we go into our next hour in just a few moments. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we encourage you to come to church with us tonight. You got an hour to get there. Starts right at 6 o'clock tonight. And time in the Word, time in the in music. Next Sunday night, we're going to have special music by our what used to be called the Buckle Up Band, but they've now changed their name to 580 West. So we will be having them next week with us, and that's pretty cool. 2 weeks from tonight is going to be a great time. It's called Christmas in the Park. It is our first outreach to in the park, the Highlander Park at Dunedin. And it's a beautiful pavilion on a lake there. Have you seen it yet?
No.
Oh, it's just gorgeous. And have you?
Not yet.
Oh, well, you two are in for a surprise. Cedric has. It's really beautiful. And band's going to play. We're going to have some lights and all kinds of things. It'll be nice. Bring a camp chair, because there are no seats. You will be sitting on the ground if you don't bring your own chair, because that's outdoors, and it'll be fun. We'll sing some Christmas carols, have a short word from God about this season, and it's just going to be a great time. 2 weeks from tonight, that's December 23rd at 6 o'clock, in the Dunedin Highlander Park at the corner of Pinehurst and Michigan. We welcome you to join us that night. Invite some friends. Tell them to bring their chair or a blanket and or both, and come have a good time. It's exciting, isn't it, Nan? We were talking a minute ago on Wednesday night Bible study to hear about the prophecies fulfilled. Would you welcome people to that, please?
Please come.
There you go. Good job, Nan.
Thank you. It's really a wonderful time of very rich teaching we have going on there. And it being interactive Bible study is very important for me because I can ask questions. People are, it's a discussion that goes, the teaching goes on, but then you can ask questions and then it's expounded on. And that's, the questions are certainly welcome and always answered.
Right.
And, if you come straight from work, you bring your dinner. We have tables set up and people can eat, during that. It's a really relaxed atmosphere. And,
cool.
And God is there and the anointing is there. So,
absolutely. Yeah. And that's 6:15 for prayer meeting on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock for Bible study. We're in our 12th year as a ministry, Beacon of Hope Ministries. And so we've had Bible study for 12 years, 11 plus years. Pretty cool, plus a weekend service. Pastor Jim, if they have a prayer request, what should they do?
They should send it to prayers, P-R-A-Y-E-R-S, at beaconofhopeministries.com. We have prayer ministry. And if you have a request, please send it. We'll pick it up. Usually we write a prayer.
Yes.
And we send that out so we can all pray in agreement. We have a whole team of people who will be praying for you, whatever your need is.
Absolutely. And if you want to be on that team, just send an email to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com.
Right.
We'll put you on that, and you'll be on the email list and get those prayer requests as they come through. And I'll tell you, there's so many answers to prayer. It is just amazing, wonderful. God is so good. All right, station identification. We'll be right back.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock. And FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.
There you go. So Little Rock area, welcome. We're glad you've joined us. We got an email from somebody this week that was cool from that station and listening last week. And there's others of you that send emails from time to time. That's great. You can do that. Send them directly to me, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister here today with my associate pastor, Jim Ellsbury, and Nanette Watson, better known as Nan. The one who writes poems. Yes, she's the poem writer. So anyway, we're so glad to be here on the air with you. And it's exciting. This is a couple weeks before Christmas 2012. And we have these shows up on our website indefinitely. We've got some back there. They're 4 and 5 years old now. They're on the website, Pastor Jim. We've got a huge capacity. Mm-hmm. So it's a great teaching tool, don't you think? If people want to hear the word and learn, to get on our website and listen, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, an hour and a half or 2 hour shows, depending on what time frame it was.
Right.
And just a good time.
It's great teaching. Yeah. And, you know, it's just, I mean, it's faith building.
Right. We encourage you to do it. Mm-hmm. Yes. So we're excited. We're talking today in Luke chapter 1. If you just joined us, get your Bible, and we're going to go on in our great discussion in a moment. One of our favorite groups that we use a lot of their music on this show is Hillsong. And this one is a song that's been around for a while, but still is probably one of my favorite and has been for a long time. William, if you're listening, here's your favorite song, Jesus, Lover of My Soul. Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, lover of my soul. I love that. Let's go to Luke chapter 1, look at verse 57, and we're going to skip down a little bit and go talk about Elizabeth and Zachariah some more. Elizabeth was full term in her pregnancy. She bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives, seeing that God had overwhelmed her with mercy, celebrated with her. I love that in the Message Bible, that God had overwhelmed her with mercy. He's God of mercy. He's God of mercy and grace, and he loves us so much. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. And they were calling him Zechariah. Pastor Jim, do you want to comment on all that? Why did they do this circumcision?
Well the circumcision.
Well, we
always with that. Huh?
I know. We've been talking about that a lot lately, it seems like. So yeah, you don't have to go there.
Well, but it was the covenant sign, and actually the child would be named, you know, I mean, to enter into the covenant, the male children had to be circumcised on the eighth day.
Right. Exactly.
And that's when they would be named.
And eight is the number for resurrection and new life. So yeah. That was why that day. And
so they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. Okay. However. And apparently, at some point, Zechariah had been able to get this across to Elizabeth. Because.
Yes, exactly.
You know. Elizabeth stood up and said, no, you're not.
Right.
We're going to name him John. First of all, that was pretty bold for Elizabeth to be saying that.
Exactly.
In the first place, because, you know, women just...
They didn't speak up.
And this would have taken place probably in a synagogue.
Right. Around the priests and the people that
and the women
were
had
in
to be
authority.
In the back.
Right. I thought of that myself when I was reading this earlier. She probably had to yell.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she probably screamed, no!
And, exactly.
You know, he said, his name shall be John.
John.
And they said to her, but none of your relatives has that name.
Right.
Well, so God's doing a new thing.
That's right. Amen.
You know? And so then that's when they had to communicate with Zechariah. And, you know, they're communicating by signs and whatever.
Right.
And finally, he wrote on a tablet, his name is John.
Right.
And they were all astonished. It's like, I think that, you know, their astonishment came by, why John? This isn't making any sense to me. You know, we're so logical. This isn't making any sense. Why would you name him John when your name is Zechariah?
Right. But see, God always, the meaning of the words with the Hebrew people was so important.
So important. And yeah, we're going to name him God is favor. God is gracious.
Right.
And that's exactly, I mean, that was a perfect name for
exactly.
John as the forerunner of the Messiah. That was the perfect
God's
name
favor.
For him.
Yes. And that's what the angel Gabriel had said to Zechariah. You're going to name him John. It was, there's only seven people, according to my Dake's commentary, that were pre-named by God. And this John the Baptist is one of those, and Jesus is one of those. That were named by God for a specific reason. And we'll talk next week about the name Jesus and what that meant and why his name had to be Jesus. But God is the one who named this little boy, this baby, you know, named him John. And immediately when Zechariah said, yeah, his name is supposed to be John, because that's what the angel told him, that there was a big old surprise. And what was that surprise?
He got his voice and his hearing back.
Woo! He suddenly was able to talk and to hear. Isn't that amazing? Because he just followed what God had told him, obedience.
Yeah, and I like this in the Amplified. And at once, at that moment, his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed. And he began to speak, blessing and praising and thanking God.
Yes.
It wasn't the first words, you know. All he started to do as soon as he got his voice back was start praising God.
You don't see him saying, I can't believe I haven't been able to talk for 9 months.
Yeah. You don't
see any of that negativity, do you?
Right. He wasn't kvetching about the fact that this is, you know, it's been 9 months since I've been able to talk.
Right. Instead, the first thing out of his mouth, he's talking and praising God. And oh my, Nan, if we would begin to talk and give God thanks more when we are in situations that are difficult, that maybe we don't understand why they're happening the way they are, but thanking God and praising him out loud instead of belly aching about it.
Well, you know, the word tells us that God inhabits the praise of his people.
Ooh, yes, it does.
And,
yes, it does.
You know, I think sometimes we we spend more time, like you say, belly aching about what's going on rather than praising God. You know, and as you know, I had a situation a long time ago, and it was I enlisted praise warriors, women to praise. It wasn't to pray about it. It was to praise of what God was going to do.
Woo.
And I think we need to do that in our lives. You know, just praise God. If circumstances look bad, praise God. You know,
exactly.
bring your request before him, of course, but then praise him and
right.
just praise him and then just see how he worked mightily.
And that's what Zechariah did. He could have had quite a platform here, Pastor Jim, to say in the synagogue, you know what? I cannot believe. Here's what happened. This angel and I just was just, you know, he could have defended his behavior of not believing. He could have done the human things that a lot of us would have done here.
But instead, he the first words were blessing and praise.
Man was
saying. Well, no, what I was going to say, he had such a time to be able to spend time with God because
9 months
he couldn't hear the negativity of the people around him of whatever was going on. You know, he was able to concentrate solely on doing his daily responsibilities, but he wasn't influenced by the negative talk around him, and he wasn't able to feed into any of the negative talk around him. And you know, he spent that concentrated time in prayer, and I think that equates to what we need to do. I don't like to hang around people who are negative. I mean, you know, I have someone who's negative in my life, but it's because it's a family member. I don't have a choice.
Okay.
But when I have choices,
right,
I choose not to be around negative people. And if they start getting negative, they start being less and less someone I hang around with
right.
because I don't want that.
Exactly.
You know, we face enough negativity that we have to face in our workplaces and things like that are out of our control.
Right.
When things are out of control, go for it.
Well, and remember, you know, yeah, he couldn't hear it from other people, but nor could he speak it out of his own
mm-hmm.
mouth. You know, God sealed that shut too.
What you neither one know is that I'm working on my fourth book right now, and I wrote chapter 3 today, which is all about negativity. That's what I spent this morning doing, was writing that chapter. And I didn't include this about Zechariah, but it is so important that we get to a place where we're almost deaf and dumb to mm-hmm. that stuff. You know,
literally,
that we become
yes.
like Zechariah, that we just say, I'm not listening to this. Walk away from a conversation or terminate a conversation or say, you know what? I've got to go. I can't talk any longer right now. Or, you know, actually, people so often, I propose to both of you that so often they're afraid of being rude when somebody's being negative, negative, negative Nelly. They don't want to hurt their feelings. And yet those negative words get down on the inside of us, and it's like a bad piece of meat you eat. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I was just thinking, came to mind, I don't know why, a lady at my office who is very negative, and she'll come to my door, and she'll lean on the door, you know, the door frame there, and she'll start whining about what's going on. And it's a payroll situation out of our control, and it's
right.
not fair what's happening, but we're working on it. We're doing the best we can do with the district to try to correct the problem. And I thought the other day, I said, if she comes to my door one more time,
right.
you got to be careful how you act in your workplace. But I'm
sure.
almost to the point of just going to, I've been thinking about telling her, look, if all you have just negative things, please don't come to my door.
Right.
We're working on the problem. I don't want to hear it anymore. Because
right.
she just says it whines. I
right.
don't want to hear that.
Right. My boss at Century 21 for years, I was there almost 20 years, one day put a big new decal on her office door, and it just had the word whine. W-H-I-N-E, like whining, not wine you drink. And then it had a slash through it. In other words, don't come in here whining because mm-hmm. I'm not going to listen. Pastor Jim, don't you think we need to get bolder if we're going to protect the seed of God's word within us? I think so often we don't protect it. We allow it to be diffused and diluted. That's the word I'm looking for. You know, like when you have a little bit of something and you, like iced tea yesterday, and I had it full of ice, and then I let it sit and forgot I had it. And by the time I got back to it, it was so diluted that it just tasted very good. Like water that had mm-hmm. a little bit of flavor to it. You know what I'm saying? It was no longer the tea that I wanted
right.
when I started that.
Right.
That. It's because I had taken a nap and forgot it.
Uh-oh.
So I never do that, but go ahead.
Well, yeah.
Speak to that dilution.
I mean, well, we do have to turn a deaf ear or, you know, think, and we do need to be a little bit more bold. You know, it doesn't.
Yes.
Even if it's just, I mean, you don't even really have to say much. just, okay,
right.
Thank you.
Gotta go.
Walk, gotta go.
Change the subject.
There,
redirect with my mother with Alzheimer's, who's now with the Lord.
Redirecting.
But I just, we learned, my sisters and I, to redirect, you know, when she would get off on a, where's my car? I want to drive my car, which she hadn't been driving for years. But you learn to redirect, and that's a technique you can do with negative people. Mm-hmm. You can redirect them. Boy, look at the sun today. It's so gorgeous. There's not a cloud in the sky, or whatever the case may be. Or aren't we glad we have jobs, Nan?
I'm glad I have a job. Yes. You know, it's positive. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you try to turn it around or something. Do something. Either, you know, either active, like
right.
trying to say and change the subject, or maybe a little bit more passive, or just saying, okay, thanks, I got to go.
But, you know, that's the point, what we're trying to make here. Some of you think, well, they're off on some tangent. No, we're really not. It's interesting what God did inside of Zechariah, which Zechariah had to agree to.
Right.
For 9 months. He had an attitude adjustment.
Right. But about all he had to do, since he couldn't hear anything and couldn't
mm-hmm.
talk,
mm-hmm.
would it, you know, I work with a client who's deaf, and I don't know sign language well enough, and I don't, to communicate other than writing stuff down. And from experience, that's pretty laborious.
Right.
You know, that takes a lot of work to write the questions and give it to the other person, have them write down the answer. And maybe another question, then, you know, passing it back and forth. So I think, and being a priest, I'm sure he had access to the scriptures. So about all he could do was read the word.
Right.
Which is not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing at all.
And I have a feeling during that 9 months of his attitude adjustment, he probably read Isaiah 54, Malachi 3, and then, of course, I'm sure when he heard about Mary, he was reading Isaiah chapter 7, Isaiah chapter 9, you know.
It all came
Micah
together.
Chapter 5. I'm sure he was reading all those.
Yes.
And thinking, oh.
Here's
which
what's going
is
on.
Why, because you kind of let that percolate inside of him for 9 months.
Right.
And that's why when he finally got his speech back, it's like all that just burst forth.
Oh, that we would be that way.
Yeah.
So full of God and meditating on him and his presence in our lives that when we are, you know, able to open our mouths in the morning when we wake up, we would begin to let that praise just well up within us. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. And let that joy just fill. Let's look at verse 65 of Luke 1. A deep reverential fear settled over the neighborhood and in all the Judean hill country. People talked about nothing else. Everyone who heard about it took it to heart, and they said, what will become of this child? Clearly, God has his hand in this. Then, now, everybody sees Zechariah 1:67. Then Zechariah, Luke 1, not Zechariah.
Okay, so she's adding books to the Bible.
Now I am, no. At Luke 1:67, then Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and he prophesied. Whoa. Now we've got Mary, we've got Elizabeth, we've got Zechariah, all of them just moving in the things of the Spirit of God.
Right, and you know, they all prophesied.
Yes.
The Mary song, which
yes.
I'm sure we'll probably talk about next week.
Yeah.
That's prophecy.
It is.
Zechariah.
Yes.
You know, this is all prophecy.
Mm.
Elizabeth prophesied
yes.
when she talked about Mary being blessed.
Right. It's all
you know,
prophecy.
Everybody's just prophesying here.
And people need to quit getting so scared about prophecy. Prophecy is God speaking through a human vessel, his wishes, his desires. That's all it is.
Well, I was thinking of something we were speaking earlier on. Everyone has a role to play.
Oh, that's a good point.
And each of them had a role to play. And they all did it quite well, actually.
Yeah.
I think, you know.
That's very good. Okay, good
so
point.
They all were important.
Absolutely.
As it is in a church family.
Yes.
We're all important.
That's a great point. So here's where Zechariah comes in here in Luke 1:67. He says, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He came and set his people free. Now, this is a prophecy of what God was going to do, and the baby that would make that happen, setting people free, is in the womb of Elizabeth's cousin, Mary, right then. Not born yet, but getting ready to be born.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is
prophecy.
It is. Blessed, and I have to read this whole thing.
Go
I
right ahead.
It's
you
so cool.
Go right ahead, and then we'll do
blessed,
our next song.
blessed, praised, and extolled and thanked be the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and brought deliverance and redemption to his people.
Yes.
He's raised up a horn of salvation, a mighty and valiant helper, the author of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant. This is as he promised by the mouth of his holy prophets from the most ancient times in the memory of man.
Amen.
I love that.
It's just, again, emphasizing the fact that the prophecies were there and they're fulfilled, and here they are. And God revealed that to Zechariah, I believe, during that 9 months when he was just alone with God, having a good time. Listen to this song, one of our favorites, Silent Night. Listen to who's singing it, Mariah Carey. Great rendition of Silent Night with Mariah Carey. Isn't that great?
What a voice.
Pastor Jim, you're going to have to leave us soon and go on to church for music practice. But isn't this a fantastic time of year? I love it when we can remember how these people of old accepted the call of God on their lives, what their part was in the birth of the Messiah. And how important that is to make that personal with us today.
Right, right. And, you know, we talked at the beginning of the show, I think even more so than the time around the resurrection, around Easter, you know, we start the Christmas season and, you know, you got like 4 weeks to prepare. And people, you know, this is a really good time for people to hear the gospel.
It is.
Whether you like it or not, you're going to see a nativity scene, and people are going to be thinking, maybe even not in the front of the, you know, actively thinking about it, but it's going to be there that, you know, there's more to this season than, you know, turkeys and family get-togethers and Santa Claus. It's Jesus.
Yes.
You know, one of my favorite things, in fact, I have it on my desktop. It's my desktop picture at work, is that it's a little figurine of Santa kneeling before the manger.
Oh, wow.
And that's just so cool because if people, you know, remember that this time of year, you can't avoid it.
Right.
We're talking about Jesus.
Right.
You know, we're talking about the birth of the Savior.
Amen.
And, yeah, we all have a part to play. And it may not be Mary's part, giving birth to him.
Sure.
Elizabeth's part, Zechariah's part, or even John's part. But we all have a part in that because we have to accept him
right.
personally.
Amen.
We have to say, wow, Lord, you did this. You came to earth. You died on a cross.
Yes.
You were resurrected, and you're Lord.
Amen.
And we have to accept that.
And it starts with acknowledging that birth of Jesus.
Exactly.
That the prophecies were there for thousands of years, were absolutely fulfilled, every single one of them.
Exactly.
300 and some?
Over 360.
Yes, over 360 prophecies, all of them. The chances of only 8 of them, which you made that point earlier in the show, are that's a huge point.
1 in 100 quadrillion.
That's just crazy number. And just astronomical
it's
number.
It's mind-boggling.
So they were all of them were fulfilled in Jesus.
Throughout his pre-existence, his birth, his life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection.
Yeah. And if some of you out there are some of these that have thought, well, you know, he was a good teacher, he was a prophet, he was a good guy, but I don't know about him being Lord and Savior. Study the Word. Ignorance is no substitute or excuse for the truth that's found in God's Word, and how it is astronomically impossible, really, for all these prophecies to have been fulfilled in one person,
right.
Jesus.
And I always love what C.S. Lewis said.
Oh, I love his writings.
You know, and just incredible, incredible. He said, you know, some people, and I think his exact word was, don't give me that patronizing talk about Jesus being a great teacher. Because if, especially the Gospel of John, you read that, and Jesus is not a great teacher. He's either the Son of God.
Right.
Or he's crazy.
Right.
You know, you can't, I just read today because, you know, Hanukkah started last night at sundown, so I was reading in John chapter 10 about where Jesus went to the temple at the Feast of Hanukkah, and that's where he said, I and the Father are one.
Yes, amen.
And the Jews knew exactly, the Judeans knew exactly what he was saying because they wanted to stone him, and he said, I love it. Jesus goes, well, for which good work are you going to stone me?
Exactly.
And they said, for none. We're going to stone you because you, a mere man, made yourself out to be God. Well, we know
he was God.
Both God and man.
Amen.
He was both. And, you know, either he's a liar because he's saying he's one with, you know, he's one, the Father and I are one. Well, either he's lying or he's crazy or he's who he says he is.
Remember that book that you and I studied in college? We didn't go to Ball State at the same time, a couple of years apart, but Josh McDowell was actually, I first heard Josh McDowell on the campus of Ball State.
Fall of 1973.
Okay, you too. Yep. All right. And his first book was
Evidence That Demands a Verdict.
Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And some of you can find that book by Josh McDowell. I'm sure it's still out there.
I would recommend everybody getting it. I have bought and given away copies of it.
Me
it's
too.
So incredible because here, and he does basically much more extensively than what I'm doing on Wednesday nights, but he goes through all the prophecies and just the proofs.
Yes.
And, you know, this is not just some baby in a manger.
Right.
This is the God, the Lord of the universe.
Amen.
Who took on our flesh.
Amen.
The writer of Hebrews said that he became like us in every way.
Amen.
He had to be made fully human. You know, because sometimes we think, well, he's not quite fully human. Yeah, human body, human soul, human spirit. At the same time, fully God. I don't know how he worked that.
We can't understand that.
But that's what it is. Fully human, fully God. He knows everything.
Amen.
He knows what it's like to suffer. He knows what it's like to be tempted.
Yes.
And, you know, that's my second favorite book, Nan, by the way, is the book of Hebrews in the New Testament.
Isaiah being the first.
No. Isaiah is my favorite out of the Old Testament.
Oh, okay.
John's my first out
of the New Testament.
The New.
Yeah.
Hebrews is. I love the book of Hebrews because it just tempted in every way, like such as us. Now, if he was just God,
right?
You know, James says God can't be tempted, but Jesus was fully human. That was a human baby born,
right?
And in that manger, but a baby who was also God,
right?
And it takes me just aback. Sorry, I'm preaching.
That's all right.
But it takes me back to think that the God of the universe, the Lord of the universe, left. There's the song, Left His Home in
Left
Glory.
Left His Home in Glory. I know that song.
And took on flesh.
Yes.
I mean, became human.
Amen.
Think about it. The God of the universe.
Yes.
A fertilized egg. I mean, you know, God took one of Mary's eggs, fertilized it.
Right.
And Jesus was there.
So wonderful. Good news of the gospel.
I know. It boggles the mind. God contained in a womb.
Because of his extravagant love.
Love, exactly.
Because he loved us so much, he planned at the very beginning of whenever there was the beginning, which there wasn't. But anyway, it, that's a whole nother discussion. God planned what he was going to do when man fell and sinned. He knew what he was going to do. He knew he had the answer. He knew he had the redemption.
Yeah, and that's an important point. A, he knew man would fall.
Sure.
But B, he also had a plan in place even before he created man.
Yes. Plan B really was plan A.
Yeah. I mean, there was only plan A. It wasn't It wasn't like Adam fell and God's going, what am I going to do now? It's not like that took him by surprise.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Amen.
So isn't this exciting time?
I love it.
And what does this do? It gives us joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Full of glory.
All right. It's not happiness. It's joy.
It's joy.
It's joy that God loves us so much. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive our King. Let every heart prepare him room.
Amen.
And that's the whole key right there.
Amen.
Let every heart prepare him room. And so we encourage you, dear one out there, wherever you are and in whatever life circumstance you're in, to prepare room in your heart for Jesus to live there and be your Lord and Savior. Josh McDowell said in that book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, he's either a liar, a lunatic, or he's Lord of all. And so we thank God that he is Lord of all. Pastor Jim, you are such a blessing to Beacon of Hope, to all of us, to our listeners on the air. People love it when you're on.
I love being on.
I hear comments from some of my former parishioners in Indiana that when Pastor Jim's on, they just love to hear what you teach and how enthusiastically you teach it and believe it. And so you're a blessing to us in this ministry. And it's been now,
it's
believe it or not,
four years
since you've been part and by my side. And I could never, ever thank God enough for having such a wonderful associate pastor. You choked me up. You choked me
up. It's a blessing.
You're just a joy.
It's just such a blessing to be a part of this ministry, to be a part of this radio ministry.
Yes.
To be the associate. I mean, that's a blessing right there.
That's
great. To be with you, behind you, upholding you.
We work well together.
Yeah.
We really work well together. And with that said, and I didn't intend to say this right now, but it's a good place to say it, this ministry is good soil to plant your finances.
Mm-hmm.
And people can pay for this show. You know, we've been carrying it now since April of 07, and with very few, I will say, offerings from the outside, quote unquote, that aren't from our body of believers. And I really have been thinking lately, people need to get more involved and plant their finances, because it's God's word that goes out over the airwaves week after week after week. And people are invited to get to know Jesus in a deeper way. It's a fertile soil. Plant your finances. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and go to PayPal and give an offering, mm-hmm. give a tithe. If this is your church, give your tithe by all means. So anyway, thank you, Pastor Jim. And
you're welcome. Us.
You can go on to church and get out the gang ready for praise and worship in a few minutes.
See you in about an hour.
All right. And Nan and I will be there right along in just a few moments. God bless you. Nan, joy, isn't it? It's a joy to be able to talk about the birth of Jesus at this time of year. I love it. It's not even a subject that we don't talk about the rest of the year. We do, but if we concentrate right now on this incredible joy that we have because of the birth of Jesus. Talk to me.
Well, it's
is a time that we set aside specifically talking about the joy of the Lord. Like I said, we hit on it throughout the year, but now is a real concentrated time of doing that. And I think it allows us the opportunity, because of the concentrated time, to perhaps evaluate within ourselves. Do I have joy?
Right.
How much joy do I have? Do I want more joy? What do I do to get more joy? You know, and kind of a real inner searching within ourselves of where do we stand with regards to that particular topic.
Exactly.
You know?
Because that's what we're talking about here today with Zechariah, that after these months of silence and not being able to speak or hear, he's had all that quality time with God on the inside of him. And when his mouth is open so that he can speak and his ears are open so that he can hear, the first thing he does is verify that Elizabeth's right. This is the name of the child, John. And he begins to just thank God and praise him from the bottom of his heart. And that's what it's all about at this season. And we don't want to lose sight of the importance of thanking and praising God like Mary did, like Elizabeth did, like Zechariah did.
Well, that was kind of a dark time for him, in a sense.
Right.
In a sense.
Quiet time.
A very quiet time, nonetheless.
Really?
But I think as he was spending time in that and getting closer to the Lord, that can kind of equate to us going through a trying time in our life.
Right.
And then as we come through that, and God just moves within us, and we get closer, and we come out with the praises to him. You know, we don't necessarily come out with, I can't believe he made me deal with this for 6.5 months. No, we come out praising God because he saw me through. He helped me out. Thank God, you know, and instead of belly aching about it, praise him. And there again, back to the scripture, God inhabits the praise of his people.
Yes.
And I believe that by continuing to praise him for the, you know, for who he is, we can gain joy that way, just in recognizing who he is and who he is in our lives and what he's doing in our lives.
Amen. You know, I've said before on the air, this has been a really hard year for me in a lot of ways, business-wise and personally, losing my mother and just a lot of things this year. But the other day, God said to me, look where you were a year ago. You're not in the same place as you were a year ago. Mm-hmm. You're deeper with me. You're more full of the word. You're understanding the necessity of joy and praising me, meaning God, more than you ever have before. You're not in the same place you were a year ago. And even though I can say I've had a hard year, Nan, this has been probably now, from this perspective, the best year of my life, regardless of how difficult it was. I learned more about God, his nature, his ever presence all the time with us, all the time, how much he loves us, his extravagant love. I've learned more this year going through all these hard times than ever before in my life.
And what can kind of piggyback off of that is you know, those of us who have been there, to have seen you go through a very challenging year, and to know, you know, what you've faced and what you've dealt with, it increases our faith.
Praise God.
By you sharing.
Yeah.
You know, you've been pretty open with your congregation and sharing in little meetings. You know, when some of us get together for socials or whatever, you've shared even in the services about, you hit on something and go, and us seeing you come through the way that you have come through is really a blessing to us. So you've gone through your, as he did, 9 months of silence, and he couldn't speak, he couldn't hear, but he was learning about God. So have you learned more about God?
Oh,
and
I
that
have.
Is bubbling over onto those of us who are around you.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's pretty cool.
And that's what it should do. When we go through these times, when we dig deeper into our relationship with God, and we, like Zechariah obviously did, for him to come out of those 9 months praising God and thanking God instead of bellyaching about, why, God, did you put me through this? I said recently on the air, one thing that Graham Cook says a lot is, don't ask God why. He's not going to answer. That's the question he's not going to answer. And so don't even ask why. Just say, in the midst of, I choose to praise you. I choose to learn joy. I choose to learn the lessons. And I think this has been one of the big lessons I've been working on this year, Nan, that instead of asking God why, and I have, I mean, I journal all the time. And in my journal, I was reading today earlier, there was a place earlier in the year where I said, okay, why is this happening? You know, and then it's almost like God just stood me up short and said, don't even ask that. Just thank me and praise me that I'm going to see you through this. Which he did.
And that got to splash over there again on us.
Amen. And it should. It should.
And, to help to increase our faith.
Pastor is supposed to lead, feed, and model. And if you do those things, it means you have to go through hard times so that you can show the sheep how to react. That doesn't mean we always, as pastors and leaders, always do it right. I'm not saying that by any means. I'm just saying that is what the ideal of what we're supposed to be doing. Leading, feeding, and modeling the life of Jesus within us.
And I can say with all honesty, thank God, you do that.
For the most part. You know, Nan, there's times that I'm just not too.
But we all have times, you know.
That that I let the circumstances get to me, like we all do.
Right, we all do that. You're human. We're human. You know?
But look at this. Look at Zechariah. And he comes out here in Luke 1, and he says, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He came and set his people free. So now Zechariah begins to prophesy. He set the power of salvation in the center of our lives, and in the very house of David, his servant, just as he promised long ago through the preaching of his holy prophets. And then we're going to go on and pick this up in just a minute. But this is the point. Zechariah spends all that quality, quiet time with God, and he comes out of it with a deeper revelation of Almighty God that he wants to set people free. That's what he wants to do. God wants to set people free.
And that's the example that he set for us, you know, that we can do the same thing.
Exactly. And you know, that's what we're called to do. We're called, in Isaiah 51, it says, the one in chains, Isaiah 51:14, I love this verse. The one in chains will soon be set free and will not die in the dungeon, nor will his bread be lacking. God first gave me that as a rhema word probably when I was 30 years old. And that's, of course, just a few years ago.
A few years ago.
Isaiah 51:14, the one in chains, and that may be you out there today, no matter what it is that you're in chains in, about in your life. The one in chains will soon be set free. This is rhema word for somebody out there. Write it down. It's Isaiah 51:14. The one in chains will soon be set free and will not die in the dungeon, nor will his bread be lacking. The word of God is your bread. The dungeon is an example of those dark, depressing, lonely times that we go through. You're not going to die in that dungeon, dear friend. You're not, because here comes the Messiah. Listen to this song, one of my favorites, by Winona. Here we go.
It must have been something being born in a manger. With the sheep from the fields and the stars shining over your head, it must have been something. Seeing three wise men on their knees before a newborn, with their eyes all aglow, and in their hearts they know it's the Messiah. He's come at last. It's the Messiah. Thank you. have been something. Speaking the word of your father. With the promise of life and peace forever. Must have been something. Walking the streets of Jerusalem. With the sins of the world on the innocence of a lamb. Soon everyone will know it's the Messiah.
That song, it's the Messiah. He's with us at last. He has come at last. And that's what that song is all about. All about the birth of Jesus. And we are so grateful. Heavenly Father, let's pray together right now. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you loved us so much, that your love was so extravagant, that you decided to redeem us, that you decided to provide a way for us to live with you eternally and not be totally inundated by our sinful natures, that you provided the redemption in the birth of your son, Jesus, who went to that cross for us. Lord, we just thank you. We praise you that you sent the Messiah in the form of baby Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you indeed prepared for his arrival with sending John the Baptist, who would talk about, who would teach, who would herald the beginning of this wonderful life of Jesus on this earth. And we just thank you, God, for this provision that you have given us, the birth of the Messiah. Lord, there are some out there today who are beat down. They're defeated. They're discouraged. They're going through difficult times, and they're not sure where you are and what you're doing in their life. Lord, I ask that you reach down and bring comfort and peace and joy to every one of these that hear the show live or hear it later on our website. Lord, that you would remind them even this moment of your great love for them, that they would realize that from the beginning of time that you have had them in your eye, that you love us each so very much that you sent your son to this earth to give us salvation and deliverance, and that you have decided to set us free from those chains that have bound us so long. So, Lord, if it's depression, if it's sickness, infirmity, if it's cancer, if it's some of our audience might be facing very dire circumstances financially or in health issues or job issues or in relationship issues, Lord God, we ask that you reach down and wrap your arms of love around these dear listeners right now. Let them know that you love them and care about the details of their lives. We ask you to just sow comfort and bring joy to their hearts this day, that they will never be the same from this moment on. We ask you in the name of Jesus to do all of this, and we thank you in advance in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. There's some people there that got touched just then, Nan. I just felt it in my spirit. I didn't even intend to pray right then. It just kind of happened, you know.
God leads.
How these things happen.
Yep.
So how do you feel about all this, about Zechariah and Elizabeth and their obedience to God? Mary, the obedience of Joseph, all of these characters.
Well, it kind of makes me want to believe God the first time when he tells me something, or else he might maybe not be able to speak.
This is true.
Seriously. And I'm serious about that. I think it just could, they're getting an example. And they all had a role to play, and they, you know, they trusted God. I mean, they looked to God for all their answers,
right.
Little baby John, you know, doing somersaults in there,
the
excitement,
isn't that cool?
And, you know, just the
that's
the
joy unspeakable,
that's
and
joy
full of glory,
unspeakable, woo! Full of glory. You know,
yeah.
I think they were all blessed because of the way they handle things. Even Zechariah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because the first thing he did when he could speak, he started praising God. And
what
example
Woo!
To set. You know, a lot of people would have come up griping and complaining. Look what God did to me. And he didn't look at it that way. He had grown in the Lord so much, and he had learned so much about God during that period that he, you know, didn't have the negativity around him and couldn't speak it himself.
Amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What an example to us, these characters and the roles that they played. I like your point earlier in the show when you were saying that some of us maybe feel that our role in church or in life is not that important, and how God really does have a place for each of us. Do you want to pontificate on that one more time?
Pontificate on that.
I like that word. I just wanted to use it, you know, in a sense.
I mean, I could think of some things maybe that I have done in the past, that in the eyes of people, they might say, yeah, you know, that's not that big a deal. And I'm not saying that to say, look what I've done. That's not my motive here. But, you know, I did it as to the best of my ability. And and I think that's what people need to do. Whatever God has them doing,
amen,
do it to the best of their ability.
Right.
He may move them because of faithfulness. Look what happened of the example in the New Testament where, you know, the ones were faithful,
right?
And God gave them more to do because
exactly.
of their faithfulness.
Faithfulness is critical,
and it's just we need to be faithful where we're
Amen.
Planted. Period.
Amen.
And all areas are equally important.
Yes, absolutely.
You know?
And you know, through this Christmas season, it does remind us of the importance of not just knowing the story, which we all know. Mm-hmm. Maybe we don't know some of the intricacies mm-hmm. very well, but. But as we hear the story, it reminds us of these people and their obedience to God mm-hmm. and how they always followed through in praise.
Right.
And I think this is huge right now at this season to remind ourselves that we need to be walking in this joy. Mm-hmm. It's not about things making us happy.
Right.
It's not about what we get for Christmas. Mm-hmm. It's about the gift of Jesus
right.
doing a fresh work down on the inside of us and not being content to stay the same way we've always been, Nan. I think the world is full of wannabe soldiers in the army of the mm-hmm. Lord. You know, they want to be, but they just don't know how to get there and mm-hmm. don't want to just take the necessary steps to begin to walk in that joy. And I just feel like this is a critical lesson that God is trying to teach the body of Christ right now. Wow.
Wow.
Right?
Wow is right.
We have choices, though. We don't.
We do have choices, you know. There may be some people out there that God's called them to do very something specifically. They have not chosen to not do it for whatever reasons that they feel they have. You know, if God calls, he'll equip. And he wants a willing vessel.
Amen.
And regardless of what that is he's calling them to do, I would strongly encourage them to spend time in prayer, spend time in quiet time.
Yes, yes.
Listen. Don't do all the talking all the time. Zechariah had to listen to God, you know? And we need to take time to
Good
listen
point.
To God. We can come through this Christmas season and treat it as if Zechariah was spending all this time with God because he couldn't do anything else.
Right,
hardly,
exactly.
You know, with his thoughts and what was happening inside him. And I would like to encourage people during this Christmas season, spend time, quiet time with God. Listen to him.
Amen.
They can emerge on the other side of this Christmas season just as Zechariah did, praising God.
Woo! Amen. And don't you find the timing of Christmas and then the new year always a good time, you know, because,
oh, yes.
you know, it's a time to reevaluate our mm-hmm. lives and start a new year and start with different priorities, maybe maybe a list of things we're going to do different, you know? And one of those, I would encourage all of our listeners, let's develop joy down on the inside of us, not be concentrated on something or someone that'll make you happy, but instead concentrate on God and his greatness and his power and how he fulfills his word and how he answers prayer and how he's always there for us, never leaves us or forsakes us, and how much he loves us. And concentrate on those things, you know.
The one who brings us joy.
The one who brings us joy. You know, we've seen it for years, Jesus, the reason for the season, but it really is.
And it really is, and people say that, I think a lot of them just say it tongue-in-cheek because it's just a thing to say, you know, and I don't, many people, I think, say that. It's a poem. They'll say that, but they don't, it's not heartfelt, it's mouth.
Right. And God wants it to get down on the inside of us. It's all about joy.
Right.
It's all about learning to develop the joy of the Lord. And Nehemiah 8:10 says this, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's where you get your strength from, people. It's joy. It's not happiness. You don't get your strength from being happy. That's temporary, and it passes over. And the glitter of the Christmas Day presents or whatever is soon gone. But the joy of the Lord is where your strength is, and that's what it's all about, and that's what I'm writing in this new book.
All right. Well, yes. That reminds me of something about... Well, when I was on medical leave...
One minute.
Okay, medical leave a year ago. There's a lot of different internet websites where you can go to find the Bible.
Right.
And I went through and I searched for the word joy.
Yes,
and I copied all those scriptures that had the word joy in and took it into a Word document. And then that way, everywhere the word joy was in the Bible, I was able to read the scriptures surrounding that.
Good idea.
You know, and I would encourage people to look up joy, study joy.
It's a good assignment for our listeners. Thank you, Nan, for being on. It's always a joy to be with you every week on Living the Good Life. As you notice, we're now on a new time, 3 to 5 on Sunday afternoons, Tampa time. Used to be 4 to 6, 3 to 5. We're going to stay at that time frame. And we encourage you to tell some people about the ministry of Beacon of Hope in Clearwater, Florida. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. You can give a donation, a tithe, an offering on PayPal. Sunday night at 6 o'clock is our weekend service. Wednesday night at 7 is Bible study. And then on the air every Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, live on this radio station. So this has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Nan, and Pastor Jim. Saying it's have a good week, and if we can help you, we want to be there for you. Use our prayer line 24/7, 365, prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. Also, check out our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. And 2 weeks from tonight, Christmas in the Park, sponsored by Beacon of Hope Ministries, and the band 580 West will be there, and we're going to have a great time. 6 o'clock, 2 weeks from tonight, in Dunedin Highlander Park. It's not far to Jesus. God bless you. Have a great week. And please stay tuned for next Sunday. I mean, not stay tuned. Join us again next Sunday at 3 o'clock. Might have to stay tuned a long time to get to next Sunday at 3. God bless you. Have a great week. See ya.
WTAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay, WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay, KLRG Sheridan, Little Rock, and FM 94.5 K233 BF Little Rock.